And I guess you know who you are. 1 Peter chapter 5, as we continue our study of this wonderful epistle from the Apostle Peter to the Christians who are scattered and being persecuted. And of course, he says a lot to them about how to endure suffering, how to glorify God in suffering. But we've come to verse 7 this morning, but I'm going to begin by reading verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be clothed to one another. All of you be subject to one another, and be clothed, there it is, with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. We ask your blessing upon us. We need you, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit to open up the Word to our hearts, our understanding. We need you to bring conviction in our lives where there is sin. And, oh Lord, who of us here this morning is without sin? I thank you, Lord, that we can take our sin to a loving, holy, gracious Savior who forgives and forgives and forgives again if we will but come by faith. So cleanse our hearts, Lord. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of our salvation, even as you did for David after his great sin. And Lord, encourage our hearts this morning. It is so wonderful to be part of the family of God, but sometimes we go through difficulties and we forget how wonderful it is. We forget about our hope. We forget about our God. Forgive us for that, Lord, and strengthen us this morning. So be our teacher, be our guide. May your name be glorified. Help me as I preach. Speak to my heart, and may you just speak to us through your word this morning. And I pray again that if there be anyone this morning who is in this building, that they may come to know you as Savior as a result of your working in their heart. May they be drawn to you, Lord, and call upon you for salvation. For you are our only hope in this life and in the life to come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 7. I've saved verse 7 for today because it is just so amazing. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Wow. You know, one of the most difficult things that one faces in losing their loved one, especially their spouse, whether it be by death or maybe divorce or desertion, one of the most difficult things they experience is loneliness. Loneliness. They've always had their husband or their wife, always had them there to help them and to support them and talk with them and to hug them and go places with them and to eat and to shop and to go to church together or go for a drive or on a vacation together and pray together. There's always a shoulder to cry on. They had ears to listen to the desires of your heart, and suddenly they're gone and you're all alone. You're lonely. Oh, sure, there are other family members around, maybe, and friends, and the church, but it doesn't quite fill the void, the emptiness. It doesn't necessarily take away the awful and sometimes dark loneliness. And those who go through it tell me that it's terrible. It's awful. And it is so very hard to go through. But go through they must, and go through they will. And somehow the time passes and God brings some healing and some comfort. But the loneliness never quite goes away. It's a feeling that you feel that you have no one who really cares. If I just had somebody who cared. We need that, don't we? We really do. We really need that. We're so very dependent upon social interaction with others. And one of the reasons for the increasing rate of suicides among younger people is that many, many are missing the individual relationships with others, the camaraderie, the companionship, the encouragement. And in a sense, they're lonely and they don't even know it because they don't know what it is to not be lonely, maybe. There's a high rate of suicide among military veterans who have what is labeled PTSD. PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And they have so much that dominates their thinking from the very tough experiences in the military service. And they go through a loneliness of a whole different kind than we who've never experienced that. And we have a hard time understanding, don't we? We have a hard time understanding. And they may be dealing with flashbacks and nightmares and terrible memories that just put them on the edge most of the time. And they just don't feel like they're ever going to get their life back together again to what it was. They just don't have those who really understand and really care and understand what they're experiencing. Instead, they just get the feeling that those around them think that they should just get over it. You need to just get over it. But they can't get over it. And they feel like they're trapped in a cage. And they need someone to open the cage, or better yet, get in the cage with them and bring them out. Somebody who understands, somebody who really cares. Loneliness. That can include anxious feelings about a lack of connection or communication with others. One can feel lonely even when surrounded by people. That's hard to figure out, isn't it? But it's true. They're lonely in the midst of people. Loneliness has been described as social pain. Social pain. It's a lack of connectedness to others. And then there are those who are surrounded by people, family, friends, who truly care. And they show. And they share their love with them. But he or she is experiencing a loneliness in the midst of caring people because the burdens that they're carrying are just too painful and too difficult to share. They live maybe with secret sins that no one but God knows about, and that they feel they have to hide, and there's no one who can take that away, no one who cares. You know, our text in verse 7 says that there is someone who cares. He careth for you. Notice that? Three words. He cares. Four words. He cares for you. We so desperately want somebody who cares, and we need someone who cares, and God gives us someone who cares. Isn't that wonderful? It's amazing. Jesus Christ understands better than anybody can understand your loneliness. And he really, really does. Isaiah 53:3 says of Jesus Christ, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Despised? Rejected? A man of sorrows? Was there loneliness in him? What was it like for Jesus to live without sin in a sinful world? Can you imagine what that must have been like? To live without sin in a sinful world with sinful friends and sinful parents and sinful family. He didn't fit into any group, even his own family. And it must have been very difficult for him. And possibly there was a degree of loneliness that Jesus Christ suffered on our behalf. He was a man of sorrows before his crucifixion. But then on the cross, he was forsaken by everyone, even the Father. Matthew 26, 27, 46. He knew supreme rejection and loneliness. And he is a high priest who is touched with the feeling of your infirmities, who can sympathize with your weakness and with your loneliness. Again, verse 7, 1 Peter 5, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God said to Joshua, as they're ready to enter into the promised land with great fear, they were afraid. And so God said to his commander, Joshua 1, verse 5, there shall not be any man who shall be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. Why did he say that? Because he cared. God cared for Joshua. God cared for his people. And so he promised, Joshua, I'm going to be with you every day, every hour, every minute. I will be with you. His promise to Joshua and to you and me is the exact same promise because it comes from the exact same God. God who promised Joshua is a God who promises you and me that he will be with you. I will not forsake you. Why will he not forsake Joshua or you? Because he cares for you. He cares for you more than anybody in the universe cares for you. You! You, right? That very imperfect, unique, slightly on and nerdy person named you. And he cares for you when nobody else does. He will not forsake you though the world abandon you. So that's point number one. I have 2 points. Point number one, he cares for you. Now we're going to look at this verse backwards. Notice that we're looking at the last phrase first, and then we'll look at the first last, because the first cannot be true except the last be true. And the last is the basis of the first. I can cast my care upon him, for he upon whom I cast my care cares. And because he cares, he can carry the care which I cast. Got that? Because he cares, he can carry the care that I cast upon him. He cares for you. And you are very, 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 very important to him. You got that? You are very, write this down. You are very, 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 just write very and then the word five, a factor of 5 or 15 or 500 for you. You are very, very important to him. You are precious to him. You are of great value to him. Write it down. Jesus said in Matthew 10:29, are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing, a penny? You can buy 2 sparrows for about a penny. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. You are more value. Wow. You are of more value. You think, well, big deal. I'm worth more to God than many sparrows. Yeah, more than all the sparrows in the world. You are more value than all the creatures and all of God's kingdom in the world. Christ died for you, not for sparrows. And of course, by the way, that Psalm 50, 10 and 11, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the beasts, all the creatures of the earth are his, he says. Every one. But he cares more for you than all of them put together. You are more valued than all the creatures. Christ died for you. And of course, the point is that if God cares so much about the lesser, that not one of the lesser even dies without God, without God taking note. He notes when you hit a sparrow with your car, or a mourning dove, oh, don't hit the mourning doves. They mate for life. If you hit one, you want to hit 2. Okay, and then the one won't mourn so much. But he knows that. He said, well, there goes another sparrow that I created. Well, if he takes note of that, the point is, he sure notices you. There's another one of my children who's in tears. There's another one who's full of anxiety. I'm here. He says, I'm here. How much more does he care for you, for whom he gave his very blood? Listen to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, you can turn there if you like, but I'm going to read Isaiah 49, verses 13 through 16. A wonderful, wonderful passage. Isaiah 49, 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people. You know that applies to you and me. God wants to comfort you, and he will have mercy upon the afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord hath forgotten me. You ever feel that way? I don't think God even notices me anymore. He doesn't care about me. And then he says in verse 15, can a woman forget her sucking child, nursing child, that he should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Even though the walls of Jerusalem were broken down, in God's eyes, the walls were being built up. God would restore Israel, and so with you. He's graven you. He's written you on the palms of his hands. And a mother may forget her child. We hear a lot about children dying and cars that overheat. I heard of one who what happens is sometimes maybe dad will have his child with him, which is unusual, and he goes to work and he forgets because he never has his child, and he just locks the car, goes into work, and the child dies because dad forgot. Or sometimes mom forgets and the child dies. God will never forget. God never forgets us. We know with our heads that God cares, and that he cares very, very much, but we don't always believe that he cares specifically for me in my worrisome situation. And no doubt you are in a worrisome situation. And you should not be, because we're not supposed to worry, because our God cares about us, right? But we don't believe that he cares that much. Cares about everybody else, but not me. In fact, the worrisome state of my heart is very telling. It reveals that my trust, my faith, is not in God, but my faith is in my own ability to get myself through the difficult situation, as impossible as it may be. In fact, I don't even share it with others. Maybe I don't even share it with my spouse, because I don't think he or she can help me, right? Maybe you need to share it. You sure need to share it with the Lord. Well, the disciples displayed the lack of trust as well. Turn to Mark 4. Mark 4, 35 through 41. Again, a beautiful scene with Jesus and his disciples. One of our favorite, one that we're familiar with, but one that illustrates his point well, I think. Mark 4, 35, and the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent the multitude away, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships, or little boats. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awaked him. I think the point is they should have all been asleep as well and have the faith to rest with him. And they woke him up and they say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and they said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And when I think about what God does for me, and how he works in my life and your life, I ought to be saying all the time, what manner of man, what manner of God is this on whom I can call at any time, in any situation, and I know he will hear me and answer me because he cares. And he shows that in this illustration, in this story. Master, don't you care that we're going under? Sure he cared. He took care of it. He took care of it. And if they had not woken him, or woke him up, shaken him, I think they would have, the boat would have gone down and they would have all walked on the water, walked back to the shore. You think? I don't know what would have happened, but he took care of it. You see, when Jesus is in the boat, we need not fear. He cares and all is well, winds, waves, water, and all. And if Jesus is with us in the storm, we need not fear because he cares. He cares for you. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear thou not, I will help thee. Wow. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Fear thou not. No fear, Terry. I'm going to hold your hand through this. I'm going to walk you through this. I'm going to say, peace be still, and all the waves will be calm in your life. If I'll just call upon him, he'll do that. We have a strange propensity to look for trouble where there is none. I sure do. I have that tendency. I just want to find trouble. And I'm going to think and think and think until I can think up some trouble. I can think about things, how things could go bad. I can think of all kinds of things to worry about. And you know what? I just make them up. I love doing that. I just make them up. And then I feel like I really have a hard life. You know, I'm just it's really something what Terry Post is going through. And I just make it all up. We just look for trouble when there is none. We just know it's coming, so we begin watching for it and trying to prepare for it. And we watch the gathering clouds, and then we anticipate troubles, and we worry about the future, and we worry about our children. Our health begins to deteriorate, and we worry about what we're going to do if and when the disease and the condition gets worse. And we're now living in la-la land. Welcome to la-la land. The land that doesn't exist. The land of worries. We live in that. It's terrible. And we're making stuff up. And we're living as if there is no such person as a caring Savior. I know you tell me that there is a Savior who loves me and cares for me, but I don't believe it. You're lying to me. That's how we're living. We would never say that, but that's how our lives reveal. And then we hear Jesus whisper in our ear, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. John 14:1. He does that. Let not your heart be troubled. Terry, what's your problem? What's your problem? Why does he tell you that? Let not your heart be troubled. Because he's serious about freeing you from worry, liberating you from worry. God's plan does not include worry, anxiety, carefulness, if you will. He wants to free you from worry because he knows how tormenting it is to your mind and soul. And he cares about you. He cares for you. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't be afraid, little one. God is pleased to give you the kingdom. He has promised you the kingdom of heaven. Can he not take care of you in the kingdoms of this world? So cheer up, cheer up. Shake off your fears. Don't worry about your troubles. And just rejoice because it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And the road may be very rough, but the end is just ahead. We can see it over the horizon. It's just ahead. and it's glorious. So don't be troubled, just sing. Sing. Paul and Silas, they sang in prison. They were chained in prison, ready to be beheaded the next day, and they were singing hymns that night. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Because he cares for you. You. That imperfect, unique, slightly odd person named you. And he cares when no one else does. So, point number one, he cares for you. And our last and final point is number two, cast your care upon him. Okay, cast your care upon him. Care, the word care is another way to say worry. Worry. In other words, throw all your worry and worries and everything you can ever even conceive of worrying about upon him. Why? Because you can't handle those worries. And he can. Our God is well equipped to handle every single one of your fears and worries. In fact, God is very happy to relieve you of that burden. He wants your worries and cares and anxieties and fears. And is there a more beautiful verse and truth in all of the Bible? What a comfort and blessing and joy and thrill to the very depth of our soul to know that because he cares for me, I need not ever carry another worry in my heart because my heart is filled with his care. So I don't need to be filled with cares because I have his care. Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden-bearing. All your anxiety, leave it there. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat. Leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. You know, Peter very possibly borrowed this thought, this precious truth, from Psalm 55:22. It should be in your reference. If you have a reference Bible, that should be in your column. Psalm 55:22, which says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, for he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain you. He sustains because he cares. The word burden in that Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, is a Hebrew word meaning lot. Cast your lot. Cast what is given. Your lot in life. What God has given you in life. It's our portion. That's which God sends our way, including our trials and troubles and crosses and distresses and diseases and cares and fears. I cast that lot, my burden, upon the Lord. And it could mean all of our affairs were to lay upon the shoulders of the Almighty and commit our way to him by faith and pray while we trust him to bring us all the way to glory land. Even the afflictions and trials and troubles, they're God's gifts to us. God gives good gifts, and those good gifts include afflictions. For they draw us to him. They draw us to him. Philippians 1:29. For it is given unto you in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. God gives that to us, the privilege to suffer for his sake. John 18:11. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, put up the sword into your sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? We simply must find a way to commit the whole thing. I need to commit the whole thing to him. Wouldn't that be wonderful if I can do that? But you don't understand what I'm going through. I don't need to understand. God does. And I can give it all to him. Have you done that lately? I cast it upon him. The word cast was used of fishermen casting their nets into the sea. And the nets would go down, they had weights, and they would catch all these fish. I just cast it into the sea of God's care, God's love. I can do that. I can do that if I will, if I'll trust. Just cast the whole thing to Him. If we go through heavy trials, we lose our friends, we lose our health, we lose our money. If we have more to deal with than we can handle, if we feel that we have no more strength and are close to being crushed by what is laid upon us, we can cast that upon the Lord. We can cast our burden, our portion, what is given, and we can cast our care, our anxiety, our worry, and He'll gladly take what we hand over to Him. And when we give it to Him, you know what happens to it? It suddenly disappears. It just vanishes. For it was nothing in the first place. You see, you can't take it back because it's gone when you give it to Him. He took our sins. Remember that? Jesus took our sins. Christ died for our sins. The just for the unjust. He bore that burden of sin. And if He did that, can He not take care of our petty little problems and cares? And they're also temporary. Just this life. Just in this life, that's all. Just, then it's gone. And we make such a big deal out of it. Psalm 37, 4 through 6. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto Him. Trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as a new day. You can turn to Matthew 6. 25, Matthew 6, 25. We read in Psalm 56, 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust thee. Whenever I'm afraid, the psalmist says, I'm going to trust God. You do that? Are you ever afraid? Sure you are. Then I'll trust God. And I'll rejoice, because I don't have to be afraid. I can trust Him. Matthew 6, 25, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is the life not more than meat, the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, we might say anxious thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Some believe this means can add even 1 year to his life. Maybe speaking in a figurative way about the length of life. By working out, are you going to live longer because you're trying to live longer? He's saying no. So why do you worry about it? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and toil not. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow's cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? You know, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. Your heavenly Father knows. So seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things, all this stuff shall be added to you. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation, your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So why do I not cast my care upon Him? Maybe because I don't believe it'll do any good. And my inability, my refusal, if you will, to cast or to throw my worry upon Him and to give it to Him is because of my pride and my unbelief. And Terry, you need to get it figured out. When you worry, all that is pride. All that is a lack of trust, a lack of faith in God. If I were to ask you this morning, if you're an unbeliever, you would say, no, I'm a believer. Well, what's a believer? One who believes, right? One who believes that He can save me and get me through this life and get me to heaven. And He can do that easily. Easily? How does that work? How does He get you to heaven from here? I have no clue how God can do that. But I simply don't believe that he can take care of my problems while I'm living here. He can do the greater, but he can't do the lesser, right? So I'm stuck worrying about them the rest of my life. Well, if that's what you and I want, then that'll happen. But God has far greater blessings and plans for you and me. So simply take him at his word, cast all that care on him, and God will take care of it. We read in Luke, you can turn there if you like, but Luke 10, verse 20, Luke 10, 20, I love this passage, how the disciples went out and they were healing people and casting out demons, and boy, they were pretty proud of themselves. And then Jesus said in Luke 10, 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Wow, my name is written in heaven. Why am I worrying? Why am I worrying? And then Luke 10:38, remember Martha and Mary, and Martha was cumbered about all the serving. She was all stirred up. And in verse 41, Jesus said, Martha, 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 thou art careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from you, her. Mary was worshiping the Lord. Martha was worrying while the Lord was right there. When you and I worry, we need to remember we're worrying right in the presence of the Lord. The King of Heaven is right there, watching, hearing, seeing every worry, every fear. He said in Luke 12:32, another beautiful promise, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So don't fear, don't worry, don't be troubled. One person said, worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow, it only saps today of its joy. Worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow, it only saps today of its joy. A man named J. Arthur Rank, an English executive, decided to do this, to take care of worry. He decided to do all his worrying on Wednesdays, one day a week, and it would be Wednesday, maybe because Wednesday started with a W. So I'm going to put all my worries, I'm going to do them on Wednesday. And when anything happened that gave him anxiety and annoyed his ulcer, he would write it down and put it in his worry box and forget about it until Wednesday. Well, it's interesting. Interesting thing was that on the following Wednesday, when he opened his worry box, he found that most of the things that had disturbed him in the past 6 days were already settled, or they didn't happen. And it would have been useless for him to have worried about it anyway. Well, maybe you and I can do that. Pick one day of the week where we do all our worrying, and the rest of the week we're worry-free. That would help a lot, wouldn't it? Well, I don't know. Then there's a story about a woman who was having trouble getting to sleep at night because she was afraid of burglars. She just knew somebody's going to break into their house at night. So one night, her husband heard a noise in the house, and he went downstairs to investigate. And when he got there, he did indeed find a burglar. And good evening, said the man in the house. I'm pleased to see you. Will you please come upstairs and meet my wife? She's been waiting for 10 years to meet you. So, well, I don't know if that would ever happen. But just remember, the Lord cares. Help is on the way. Jesus is in the boat. Jesus is in the furnace with you. Number one, he cares. Number two, you cast. He cares, you cast. And all will be well. Everything will be right. Will you do that? Will you trust him? Will you give your heart to him in love and faith? He would be pleased if you would do that this morning. Let's pray. Our Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the wonderful promises. We know we only looked at so very few of them. We thank you that your word is filled with promises of hope and blessing and joy and being free of anxiety. Thank you for the fact that we can know we have eternal life, for you promised to give it to those who call upon your name in faith. And I pray, Lord, if there's any here this morning who have not called upon your name, that they would come to you before it's eternally too late. And thank you, Lord, that we can call upon you by faith and cast our care upon you because you care for us. I thank you, Lord. We don't comprehend it. We can't begin to understand it, but we know it's true, for your word promises that you care, you love, and you want to free us from the burden of worry, loneliness, heartache, anxiety, and so may we learn to trust you and cast our burden upon you. Bless as we close. We give this time to you now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn book and turn to number 489. 489.